As I was praying up here, the Lord showed me, I'm going to talk a little bit about being overcomers. And he said, these people here are overcomers. I know there's people here who are sick. I know people here are depressed. But he's saying, it's almost like when the Lord sent Samuel out to, was it Samuel, to choose the new king, David? All of these other brothers passed by, and then David was out in the field. It's almost like you are David. He has a word for you, but he has a mission for you. He has a plan for you. Even you, when you're down in the valley. That's what he showed me. So just listen to what's going on here. I know you're feeling weak. Some of you are downtrodden and saying, me? How me? But when you're down there in the valley, trust me, that's when you grow. He is the lily of the valley. Psalms 2:1. He's the lily of the valley, right? Never know how these things work. Okay, I need participation here, 100%, and it's going to determine where I'm going to, how I'm going to spend eternity. So it's kind of important to me. Okay, so I need everybody to do this and yawn. Oh boy, some people don't care. I can see that now. Stamp your feet. All right, maybe 75%. Okay, here it goes. There's this pastor who, he passed away and went to heaven, and Peter met him at the pearly gates, and he's going to take him around and show him where he's going to spend eternity. In this real nice mansion, as they're walking through all the around this place, everything was the finest of everything, obviously, and he's simply amazed. And as they go outside, he looks across this big lake and he says, hey, who's spending eternity in that white castle over there? Wow, that is something, isn't it? Peter goes, yeah, that over there, that is a, that's a New York City cab driver. A New York City cab driver, the pastor says, I don't want to feel ungrateful, he said. You know, I've preached the word for 40 years, but this guy's driven a cab and he's going to live in a castle. What gives? Peter says, well, when you were preaching, everybody was sleeping. When he was driving, everybody was praying. Keep that in mind. So kind of stay awake. It's kind of important to me. I've titled this this thing here, and the Holy Spirit may take me in other places. Praise the Lord. I believe that I've entitled it Knowing Jesus. I believe many of us have found that in order to have a lasting relationship with someone, a spouse, for instance, or somebody else, we need to spend time with that person. Right? We need to know them. Sue and I have been married for 54 years. Really? Wow. We pretty much know each other's likes and dislikes after that time. For instance, she knows I don't like onions in my potato salad. And she doesn't like the color of green, unless it's money. Yeah. And there's a lot of other things, you know. But that's kind of some of the examples. We've raised four kids, and we've gone through trials. I'm sure everybody has too. But the Lord's been good. But this being said, in order to have a lasting and meaning relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to get to know him personally. We must spend time with him. To be able to please him, we need to know him intimately. Well, you might say, how do we do this? Well, first of all, the Bible, there's many names for him. You can look around these walls. But we need to know who he is, right? He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22:13. Think about it. He is the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. He's the lily of the valley. Psalms 2:1. Most importantly, he's our Savior and the Son. There's no one like him, no one with any higher authority. His word says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Matthew 22:18. All authority has been given to him. How about some other names? He's our advocate. Advocate. My dear children, in John, 1 John 2:1, my dear children, I write this to you that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Do you need an advocate? I think we all do. He intercedes, huh? He is the bread of life, John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I remember years ago, I got saved actually through Sue at the Basin Church, Basin Methodist Church. It's now an auction. I think it's an auction house. Pretty sad. But we had a communion every month. They'd have the communion in small church, probably 15 people. We would get up in front and hold hands, and we would take the bread and the drink. And Matthew, some of you guys know my oldest son, Matt. He was about 4 years old. Well, he was in this group to take communion as well. First time he ever did it. When he took the morsel of bread and ate it, he looked up at me and says, I'm still hungry. It was, and everybody kind of smiled because it was real quiet. I'm still hungry. And I remind him of that, and his kids say that to him from time to time. Thank you. Are you still hungry? Are you still hungry for the Lord? Evidently, there's a lot of people here with empty chairs. They're not. They're not hungry. He's our deliverer. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom we raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Do you need deliverance from something? Do you need deliverance? He's the judge. He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead, Acts 10:42. Do you need a judge to intercede for you? Wow, you don't need a Philadelphia lawyer. You don't need a Philadelphia lawyer. You need a judge. We have an advocate, we have a judge, don't we? He's the one who sets us free. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You need to be set free? Who told you you're not free? The enemy? When Jesus received the Spirit, was in the wilderness for 40 days, and Satan was there tempting him with all these sayings that he didn't have right. Jesus rebuked him and everyone. And my Bible says in Luke 4:13, that the enemy left him for a more opportune time. So if the devil is coming back for Jesus at a more opportune time, what's he doing with us every day? You need to take that freedom and relish that freedom and use that freedom. Amen, brother. Rebuke him. Amen. He's our peace. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups together and has destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have peace in your home? In your home. Do you have peace in your home? I was raised in my dad had a great mother. I don't want to talk against my dad, but my dad was basically an alcoholic, as we realized. And there was always fighting, but you don't want children to go to bed with hearing arguments and hearing fear. That's what I like about our home. There's peace, not turmoil, peace. Too much turmoil. He's our Redeemer. How about that? Job 19:25. And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will take his stand on earth. Don't we need that? Do you need a redemption? Do you need a Redeemer? We can listen to all these news programs 24/7 now, and basically I've stopped doing it. I've stopped doing it. It's too depressing. I can't tell you not to do that. We need to be aware of the times. But this is the time that we're in. There's no hope. There's no hope. But we know. We know that the time is drawing near. That's why we have to be here. We have to be ready. Who's going to help tell them if we don't? Who's going to have to tell them if we don't? We have to tell them. We have to intercede. How about this? He's a rock. Don't you need a rock? 1 Corinthians 10:4. And they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Do you need a steadying influence in your life? Do you need some place to go that's a rock, a solid, and some place that doesn't waver back and forth? We need that rock. He's the way. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me, by me. There's no other way. You can watch the news and all these other things. Have you lost your way? Perhaps you don't know where you're going. We have kids that maybe we've raised in a church or whatever, and they've wandered away. They've lost their way. They've lost their way. The Lord's given us power to pray, prayer to pray for them, right? We lift them up. I've always said, now this is Ken speaking, I think it's tougher being a grandparent than a parent. I don't know if what other people are going through sometimes. I think it is tougher being, because you don't have that authority, maybe. You don't have that. You have that knowledge, but sometimes they don't want to hear it. When you're raising kids in your household, you know, you can do this and do that and be, you know. But as a grandparent, all you can do is sometimes just pray. He's the truth. John 8:32. The truth. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free, as I said before. He is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What else do we need? That wraps it all up. Do you need a counselor, or do you think you're smart enough to do it all yourself? Have we gotten that smart? Have we gotten that smart that we think this whole world, universe we're at, happened under a big explosion? Makes me scratch my head. Knowing him personally really means having that one-on-one relationship with him. Revelation 19:9 says, the Bible talks, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. There's going to be a big supper of the Lamb if we're saved, if we're overcomers and get to heaven. But you have to have that personal relationship with the Lord. He's not going to call us when that supper is ready. He's not going to say, Gibson, party of four, please enter. Gibson, party of four, please enter. No, he's going to call you individually. You cannot get in to this feast on somebody else's coat strings. It's not like a wedding feast that we get invited to here on earth simply because we know someone who knows someone who knows someone. It doesn't work that way. A child of the king, as a child of the king, we have a reservation that's secured. Evan, our son, he's always been kind of a Seinfeld guy, reruns watching and that. We made a reservation of this nice restaurant one time we went out to. I don't know if it was in Oklahoma or here. And we get there, and we waited 45 minutes to get seated. And he says, they know how to take a reservation, but they don't know how to hold a reservation. That's a Seinfeld thing, I believe. Is your reservation being held for you? Hey, we know it's secure. We know that reservation's secure. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. Praise the Lord. Many will not get that reservation. Only those who have overcome. Look at yourself as an overcomer. Right now, look at yourself as an overcomer. Where you were, where you're at right now, where you're going. You're an overcomer. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's telling us that Jesus is coming back. Are you an overcomer? Have you lost your way? Do you discipline yourself to read His word? Come to His house? Sunday school, maybe? Lift others up? I don't want anything to be judgmental, but I found this hunger for the Lord that I have to be in Sunday school every Sunday. I'm learning so much in there. It's amazing. There's a quote that I heard one time. Let's see. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. It takes a team to make the dream work, doesn't it? A little advice in our walk with the Lord. Stay away from doom and gloom people. Doom and gloom people will take your words and twist it around or turn it around. They'll put you down. They'll discourage you. I'd rather hang out with encouragers than discouragers. Walk away from them. Feed on the word. Be part of the body of believers. The Lord has a plan. The Lord has a plan. Too many people have lost their way. Matthew 13, chapter 13, I just want to read this, 13, verses 18 through 23. I don't know if you can pull that up, but Matthew 13, 18 to 23, it says, and you then, listen to the parable of the sower. When someone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path, and the one sown on rocky ground. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but is short-lived. You ever see anybody like that, that you maybe led them to the Lord and this and kind of moved on your way, they moved away or something, and come back and find out they're not walking with the Lord? Wow. Yet he has no root in himself, but is short-lived. When the persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the seduction of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I think we see that a lot today. We want these get rich, you can have anything you want, and the worries and things of the world choke it out. But the one sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does bear fruit, and yield some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Where was your seed sown? Where was your seed sown? Is it in the fertile soil? Some evidently who are not here have fallen away. That seed wasn't in fertile soil. Right now we know all the drought and everything that's going on. Is your seed getting water? I planted some grass seed and some bare spots on my lawn back in the spring and never watered them. No grass. Are you watering that seed? Or is things taking your time too much? I challenge you to get to know Jesus personally. Sometimes we fail each other. I may find an onion in that potato salad when I thought it was a piece of celery. Maybe I bought Sue something green for Christmas. Not a big deal. But what a big deal it is where we spend eternity. Do you hunger for more of Him? I challenge you to ask yourself, what am I doing to further the kingdom of God? What am I doing to further the kingdom of God? I've had that came in my head. I guess it's my own makeup. Well, you need to ask yourself that. I've always thought, and I've raised this before, I've always thought it, when we enter our church, there should be two signs. As we enter, it would say, come as you are. Because we're always telling people, come as you are. Come as you are. Good. But I'd like to have a sign as you go out above those double doors that says, don't stay as you were. Come as you are. Don't stay as you were. Perhaps somebody can help making one of those signs or whatever. Make that happen. Psalms 27, verse 4 through 6 says, I've asked one thing from you, from the Lord. I've asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking Him in His temple. For He will conceal me in His shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of His tent. He will set me on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in His tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Finally, as I just want to wrap up, we need to diligently seek Him. It's like a marriage to keep it going. It's like whatever you're in, to keep it going. Because Jesus is our stronghold. Amen. What else do we have? Amen. We need nothing else. So you're discouraged and downtrodden, and He's our comforter. He is our comforter. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Be an overcomer. Be ready to be and to join in that supper that's reserved for us securely. Continue to water your seed. be an asset, not a liability. Isn't it comforting to know that Jesus never fails us?
Yes, it is.
Bill, would you come and sing that song again as we close? Like I said, I'm not going to have an altar call, but feel led if you want to come to the altar, we can pray with you. Jesus never fails us. His promise still stands. We can have that confidence in Him. You get to know Him personally. Amen.